Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook and I'm pleased to have your company again. The Salvation Plan, John Benton continues the new series. Well, here on Serving Today, we've just begun a new series about the plan of salvation, and we're doing that with the help of John Benton. In the previous programmes, we looked at the first 11 chapters of Genesis, the beginnings. The next section of the book of Genesis, chapters 12 to 50, covers the patriarchs, so the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and also Joseph. And to tell us more of their story, which began 2,000 years before Christ, here's John Benton.
God once again chooses one man and his family, as he did with Noah. To this man, Abram, God makes the most fantastic promise, an unconditional covenant, which becomes one of the major keys for understanding the whole of Scripture and God's salvation plan. This promise to Abram is very, very important. The rest of Genesis can be seen in terms of the beginning of God's faithful outworking of this promise over the four generations of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
So the first of these is Abraham, and his story is covered from Genesis chapter 11, verse 10 to chapter 25, verse 8.
That's right, and God revealed himself to Abraham while he was an idolater. We know that from Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. He was an idol worshipper in Mesopotamia, a region near Babel. And he and his father, Terah, and his brother, Nahor, were obedient to God's call and left Haran. But God called Abraham to go to Canaan and gave him the promise.
What does this part of Genesis tell us about God's promise to Abraham?
Well, though this is reiterated and filled out in Genesis 15 and 17, the initial promise is recorded in Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9. It has various parts. God promises to be with Abraham and to make his name great. God promises that through Abram and his wife Sarai, though Sarah is barren, Abraham's descendants will become a great nation. To reflect this, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, father of many, chapter 17, verse 5. The next part of the promise, God promises wandering Abraham to give his descendants their own special land. And then God promises to bless and protect Abraham's descendants. They will bring blessing actually to all people, to all the world. It's a wonderful promise.
How does this promise fit in with God's salvation plan?
God is committing himself to reversing the effects of the fall. The fall brought a curse. Through the promise, blessing will come. Just as God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a special land and blessed them, he now promises to create a new people with a special land.
And what particularly stands out about Abraham?
Abraham's faith is the big matter, his trust in God. It is in the light of God's promise that the response of faith springs to prominence. Genesis 15, verse 6 is the first explicit reference to faith.
Yes, Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Abraham's life sees the growth, the testing, but the final triumph of Abraham's faith. He dies in faith. Faith in the promises coming true as God had promised.
John, you spoke about God's promises to Abraham. How were these actually fulfilled?
The main lesson which emerges is that the promises of God are fulfilled supernaturally. Abraham's own attempts to rescue himself from trouble are of no avail until God intervenes. We see this in chapter 12 and in chapter 20 of Genesis. And Abraham's trying to have a child naturally with Hagar, Sarah's maid, is rejected by God. God waits until Abraham is old, past the time of having children, as it were, and then gives the couple the baby Isaac. The name means laughter. God is showing himself to be El Shaddai, God Almighty.
So that's Abraham. Then we come to the story of Isaac from Genesis chapter 21 through to chapter 35.
So this begins to focus on this land, but we find atonement here too. The main testing of Abraham's faith concerns his son Isaac. God has given him this son supernaturally. Sarah is able to have a child when she's far beyond having children. God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son, Genesis 22, 1 and 2. The question behind this is, if we are all sinners, what right does Abraham have to be so blessed? God had said in Eden that sin deserved death. But Abraham trusts God, chapter 22, verse 8. And God himself provides a substitutionary sacrifice in place of Isaac. And therefore, God's promise, which is going to be passed on to him, Isaac lives. God provides not just supernatural power, but atonement.
And that substitutionary sacrifice or atonement is expressed in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? John, what else can we learn about Isaac?
Faith and God's blessing. Abraham is very careful to provide a wife for Isaac from his relatives who worship the Lord, chapter 24. And Isaac lives in the promised land, though he doesn't own it. And God reaffirms the Abrahamic promises to Isaac. Even though the residents of the land resent Isaac being there, chapter 26, verses 15 and 16, they are forced to acknowledge that God is with him, and they make a covenant of peace with him, chapter 26, verse 28.
So we've seen God's promise to Abraham. Isaac is settled in the land, and we come to Jacob. His story is covered from Genesis chapter 25, verse 19, to chapter 50, verse 13.
So in the story of Jacob, now the story begins to focus on Abraham's descendants, the Jewish people. This is all by God's grace. Jacob is the least ideal, in a way, of the three great patriarchs. He's not a good character, he's a bad character who cheats his feckless brother Esau and indeed deceives his father, chapter 27. He runs away to Nahor's relatives, and the man who becomes his father-in-law cheats him in chapter 29. Yet God chooses him and reiterates, re-emphasizes Abraham's promise to him. He receives the promise and makes him the father of the men from whom will spring the 12 tribes of Israel. Choosing Jacob shows that God's grace is not a reward for being good. Salvation is by grace, not our merits.
What else is significant about God's dealings with Jacob?
Well, we find the forgiveness of sin. Jacob is both under God's blessing, but also, because of his misdemeanors, under God's frown. His sins catch up with him, as having incurred the displeasure of his father-in-law Laban, he has to return home and to face his brother Esau, who is quite angry with him for the way he's cheated him. It looks as if he could lose all he has gained under God's blessing. But the night before he is due to meet Esau, in a strange meeting, Jacob wrestles with God and will not let him go until he is blessed, chapter 32, verse 26. The blessing received was the blessing of pardon and a return to normal relations with God. God has put himself within reach of Jacob so that he could hold on to him. This is grace.
Then we come to the remarkable life of Joseph from chapter 30, verse 22 to the end of the book.
And again, referring back to the original promise to Abraham, and in Joseph we find the promise that God made to Abraham that through him all nations would be blessed. This begins to work out through Joseph. In dreams, God reveals the future to Jacob's son, Joseph. Because of Jacob's favoritism, he favors Joseph. Joseph's brothers turn against him and sell him into slavery in Egypt, telling Jacob he has been killed by a wild animal. Falsely accused, Joseph goes to a dungeon prison. There, by God's help, he interprets two of the prisoners' dreams. This ability from God brings him to Pharaoh's attention. Through Joseph's interpretation of dreams, Pharaoh understands that God will send 7 years of plenty to Egypt, followed by 7 years of famine. You can read about that in chapter 41, verses 1 to 40. Pharaoh places Joseph, because he's interpreted these dreams, he places Joseph in charge of the food supply, and Joseph stores up food against the famine. When the famine hits the promised land, his brothers are forced to go to Egypt in search of food. There, eventually, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and Jacob and his family move to Egypt and are saved from starvation. Through doing this, actually, Joseph has blessed many people around Egypt. After Jacob dies, Joseph reiterates his forgiveness of his brothers.
And as Joseph did that, the salvation plan moves forward.
Well, yes, it foreshadows the Messiah. In Joseph, we begin to see a fulfillment of the promise that through Abraham's descendants, all nations would be blessed as both Jews and Gentiles, the Egyptians, are saved from the famine by Joseph. This points us to Jesus, as it is through the one who is rejected, just as Joseph was, and goes through suffering, just as Joseph did, that rescue comes.
Joseph's suffering tells us something important about God, doesn't it?
It certainly does. It tells us that God is in control, the sovereignty of God. The story of Joseph shows us that God is in control and is able to overrule even the sinful actions of fallen human beings, like Joseph's brothers against Joseph, and bring about good. They intended it for evil, but God turned it round for good. There are words like that in Genesis 50, verse 20.
How does the book of Genesis conclude its account of these four patriarchs?
It is with God's great promise to Abraham and its outworking in the lives of these four men in mind that the book of Genesis finishes on a note of high hope. God will surely come to your aid, says Joseph, and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. That's chapter 50, verse 24.
Well, our thanks again to John Benton, and thank you for your company here on Serving Today. We hope that you can be with us next time. So, this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God in his loving faithfulness uphold those serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to the Serving Today podcast produced by the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter @servingtodaygbm. @servingtodaygbm. Goodbye.